listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Monday, 20th of May, 2019. And down there, even though that he was playing hooky last Monday, Steve Elkins from God's Waiting Room. Do you have him? Okay. While we wait for that. By the way, Bethlehem Steel. Put this in the category of icons past. I guess, what was it, yesterday they imploded the 47-year-old tower that was built as world headquarters for Bethlehem Steel. This is according to Allentown Morning Call. A lot of people don't realize that Bethlehem Steel was the steel company that, well, built the Golden Gate Bridge, the one they said that couldn't be built. And it's an engineering marvel, engineered back in the 30s and built, and with a span between the two spans, the two major spans, 4,200 feet. Nobody thought this thing was going to work. Well, it worked, and it's still standing. You have him? Come in God's waiting room.
Checking in, John. Here
hey,
I am.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm, you know, I went on vacation, and you come off vacation, and you're tired because you had so much fun, and now I need another vacation just to rest up from that vacation.
Do you ever work?
I do work. You know, I do a travel assignment here and there and locally, and it works out really well for me, John.
It must be really nice. Must be really nice to take on a contract for X number of weeks or months, and after that expires, you can consider whether you want to go to work next week or you want to take the week off or the month.
You missed your calling, John. You should have been a nurse.
I should have been a nurse. No, I should have been a doctor. If I'm, according to one of our hosts on this network, if I'm going to be with the murderous crew, I want to be top echelon murderer.
There you go.
Yeah. I was just talking before you came on about Bethlehem Steel.
Yeah.
47-year-old building they brought down.
Yeah.
Allentown did the story. Even Billy Joel did a song on Allentown closing down. And that was what, during the 70s?
Early 80s, I believe.
Yeah. And have we come back? No. No, we haven't. No, we're all interconnected. We're all interdependent. We're all internally screwed. I'm rather fascinated. And by the way, over the weekend, I start paying attention to high-speed travel, like in China, like in France, with these bullet trains.
Yeah.
Do you know that in China, they've transported over 1 billion people, and there's not been one fatality?
Nope, they got it down.
And here in this country, we've got the, we've got Amtrak. But of course, that's not privately owned. That's government, heavily government subsidized. And it seems like they can't go a week without something major going really wrong and somebody getting cut up or diced or killed or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Now, with China, they built most of their high-speed rail, and they got thousands and thousands and thousands of miles. And their trains run well over 200 miles an hour. The fastest train we have in this country, it's run by, well, yeah, the government-subsidized outfit. It's like 140, 150 miles an hour in the Northeast Corridor. But that's only for 34 miles, I think. And then that's it. Mm-hmm. And what this country did, folks, gosh, all this stuff, the freeways and everything else, isn't that nice? You know, Eisenhower back in the 50s, you know, put billions of dollars into building these highways. And, well, it was an escape route for people that were in cities to go to the suburbs. And it caused the white flight bright, I don't know what they called it, but people moved out of the major metropolitan areas. And here we are. And then we got the green people coming on strong. We all got to go electric. Well, if you're paying attention to the car manufacturers, folks, here's a heads up. They're going to go all electric here very, very soon. But they've got a problem. And they've got some severe problems with all of this yabba-dabba-doo stuff with, oh, we're going to go electric. It's going to be clean. It's... Yeah, excuse me, and again, tell me about the infrastructure for all this battery storage you're going to have to do. It's not feasible and it's not practical, especially with the power packs, the batteries that they have now. They have no range. It takes too long to charge the things up. But here again, you know, if you look in this, look at this, Steve, in its totality, mm-hmm. you know, the UN agenda is still cranking out. They still plan on shoving us all in cities. Smart growth is alive and well and doing fine in America. And we're going to have the smart cities, and we're going to have restricted corridors, and then the rest of the country restricted on human use. And basically, UN is going to make our entire country pretty much a heritage site. Yep. And we're going to be forbidden for going on our own state properties. But China found a way around this, you know, buyouts and things of that nature given right away. And see, in China, they could do whatever the hell they wanted to do because the state owned all the land. So they didn't have any problems when they wanted to build a high-speed rail. They just threw everybody off. Fair compensation? Well, what's that? You know, to the Chinese, we let you live, didn't we? You know, so, a little different system, but where this is all going, we ain't going to get there. And you saw the attempts of California with their high-speed rail going to nowhere.
Right.
Yeah, short stretch and, well, the cost overruns and billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of overruns. Yeah. If we're going to build high-speed rail in this country, and I'm not opposed to it, I think I'd much rather take a 200-300-mile trip between cities and do it on a high-speed train than I would going and, I almost said something I would regret, going to the airport and get inspected by the TSA, deal with all this stuff, to board a plane, to deal with all the stuff getting off the plane and everything else. I'd much rather just take a little carry-on bag and hop on a high-speed rail and be there in a couple hours without all the aggravated hassle. The only thing I'd have to worry about is getting dropped off at the railroad station. So there is advantages, but the way we did this, we went headlong into cars are going to be the mode of transportation and trucks in this country. Forget the rails. They let them go. And now they're rethinking the process. The rest of the world is doing this. We're the only ones that aren't.
You know, John, about these electric vehicles, you know, I was just talking earlier about 5 minutes, 10 minutes ago about the lots are just full of vehicles and they're not selling and because they're high cost and people just don't have the income to buy brand new vehicles. That's why there's a big push now for leasing a vehicle. You can actually get more vehicle, nicer vehicle that you probably couldn't own on your own. So you just lease it and turn it back in 2 years. And then you get tons of surplus now piling up on used cars. But you made a good point here on the charging the vehicles. It won't ever work. It won't work because people think, oh, it's green. It's green. It's great. Okay, now let's just break this down a little bit. The charging stations, how do you think you're going to get the electrical charge? You're going to have to burn coal. You're going to have to generate electricity, or you're going to have nuclear power or something. And, of course, we know they don't want nuclear power because, well, that's not environmentally safe. And we got Fukushima, and you got, you know, Three Mile Island and all kinds of other problems there. So those people try to shut that down. So you're going to have to burn more coal, which is not good for the environment, increases mercury in the atmosphere, and pollutes the land. So it's not going to work. It's not going to work at all. I got an article today that just came into me that they're pushing the tiny houses. Now, I don't know if you've seen the tiny houses out there in Texas.
Yes, yes.
They're pushing that. It's part of the Agenda 2030 program, giving you less and making you pay more. And California is really hopped on the train on that one as far as building small. You get small, and small is good, and you pay more for small. And, you know, they're going to – the smart meters – I just got something today that Duke Energy is now going to be changing over all the power electrical meters to smart meters now. Of course, they can control that, and that's all part of Agenda 2030 also. You know, you get less, but you pay more for less, and that's good, I guess.
Well, it certainly signifies the sign of the times. Yeah. They've got some serious problems here, and they're not thinking this thing through, and they're selling this stuff to the American public, and the car manufacturers are moving forward with it, but there is some major drops in their, yeah, we can do this. There's major gaps in the accomplishing of this great feat. And, you know, are we going to go electric eventually? Yeah, they'll finish killing the internal combustion engine. You know, we're never going to let the American public, we're never going to let the, well, I don't know if it's the car companies, government not letting the car companies or vice versa, but we're not going to have 50, 60-mile internal combustion, and they're capable of doing this. Make no mistake about this, folks. The cars have been produced, and they've been out there, and people have seen them. Well, Steve, what happened with Japan with the hydrogen? You know, splitting that H2O, that water thing. Oh, that's right. It's got hydrogen and oxygen, the two things that you would need to convert over internal combustion engines to burn that. Oh, but we haven't heard of that. That's been run out of town. But we're going to go electric. We don't know how we're going to generate the electricity. We don't know how the hell we're going to store it. And you, the end consumer, is going to end up paying much, much more for it. And we're going to severely inconvenience you because you're not be able to drive. You know, hey, Steve, when I came down to see you, I took it easy. I stopped for the night. But most of the times when I would drive from Florida, from Texas, straight shot, I'd sit behind the wheel for 18 hours. If I was driving an electric car, how long do you think that would take me?
You probably, 4 hours, then you'd have to charge again, right?
No.
Three, four?
Yeah, four hours if I was doing under the speed limit, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this all sounds fine and dandy. Electric cars, they're quiet, they're fast, you know, the torque's available right then, right there. You know, it all sounds good until you start digging into the technical stuff.
Exactly.
The Tesla, I don't know what's wrong with the Elon Musk deal. It seems like this guy's got too many pokers and too many fires. He can't keep his Tesla motor company running efficiently. They've been desperately trying to do it, and looks like the Tesla 3, I guess the new one, is pretty much falling on its face. So I don't know if that's for the meager car sales like the other manufacturers and their outlets are experiencing right now. You mentioned that. Yeah, go ahead and lease a car. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So the car manufacturers, they make the cars and then they lease them out. That's fine. But what happens after that 2 or 3 year lease? It's back on the market. They're still trying to sell new cars, and we've got a glut of used ones.
Right.
Well, one of the instances that you can point to, and it's not a bad looking car. And from what I can understand, the technology is pretty good. It's pretty fair car coming out of General Motors, about damn time, is the Chevrolet Impala. Well, that's one of the car rental favorites, you know, for a full-size sedan. So they've got fleets of these things out there. They only keep them for so many thousands of miles, and then they come off, and then they're cleaned up, and they're put on the market. This is what you're seeing in a lot of these car lots, the used car lots at any rate, like CarMax or something like that. This is a madcap. This is the end of the internal combustion age, and we're just going to slough our way through this and try to BS everybody as much as we can, try to make as much money as we can before we end up screwing everybody as much as we can.
Yeah. You know, John, the technology has been suppressed. I remember back in the 70s, there was a car for Honda made called the Honda CRX. Do you remember that?
I remember that car.
Do you remember the miles per gallon on that? 67 miles per gallon on that. Now, that was back in the 70s. So we should be much farther along. We should be doing really good on the miles per gallon, and we're not. We're actually, what is it, an SUV these days, 22 to 24 miles per gallon. That's the best on highway, the best circumstances. But we are not any farther. We know why. The industry said, hey, we can't do this. We're in the business of making a lot of money. Fossil fuel, that's a joke. But we need to make more money. So let's suppress this. Let's bring it back down. Who in the heck thought this idea of getting high miles per gallon, 67, that's crazy. Let's get this thing out of here. And we never saw it again. And we should be really far beyond the 67, but that technology has been suppressed.
Well, and days of future past here. Exactly what are we going to peg the dollar to in the future? Electricity? Yeah.
Good question. Well, we don't have enough gold to go back to the gold standard, so I don't know where we're going to tie it
to. No, we got enough gold. We just have too high of figures that they're claiming is the value of things now.
Yeah. John, I heard the CEO of Dollar Tree. You have Dollar Trees out there, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's counteracting with the retaliation from China on the tariffs and everything. He says now they're going to fight back and they're going to actually jack up their prices at the Dollar Tree. It's no longer a dollar. It's going to be $2 for everything in the store now.
Wow.
I just made that up, John.
I'm sure you just did. Art off the grid. Hello, Art.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Just in time to save me from Steve Elkins. Go ahead.
Hey, y'all talking about internal combustion engines. I drive, ladies and gentlemen, I drive a 1972 Datsun 620 pickup. It's got a 1980 720 1600cc rear-wheel drive. And I would put that truck up against anything on the road today. I get about between 18 and 20 miles to the gallon. And for a 1972 with a 1980 engine, that ain't half bad. And the really cool thing about it is I ain't got to put it in the shop every time something goes hinky on it.
How many miles on this thing?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, okay. That's after that comes up on your odometer, OMG, after it rolls over a million miles.
Right. Yeah. And this thing has probably been rolled over... Oh, Lord have mercy, probably three times.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm kind of a car creep, and I have been most of my life. Worked for the auto companies and always stayed in touch with what they were doing and this, that, and the other. And it was rather fascinating to watch the American car manufacturers finally look at what Japan was doing back in the 80s and then started to cast a half-interested eye on their operations. And I'll tell you what, by the end of the 80s, the stuff that they were shipping back in this country far surpassed the quality, performance of anything Detroit was putting out, and I don't give a damn what the price was. You know, and I have said this before, Art, that the only thing they had to do was take a Honda Accord or any one of the Hondas or, well, for that fact, Nissan or Toyota, and just reverse engineer them and just copy the damn thing and start spitting it out of Detroit, of which they didn't do.
Here's the thing. This odometer turns over every 100,000 miles.
Right.
It's been turned over three times already and now sitting on 84,000. So that means it's got almost 400,000 miles on this engine.
Yeah, and Art, I'm going to safely assume that you don't have any payments on this thing either.
Nope, I own it outright. And here's
got that
the thing,
40-year loan on that one.
40-year, yeah.
They can't issue a title for this thing because of its age. They cannot even issue a title.
Amazing. All right.
Yep.
Art, appreciate your call.
Interesting.
All right, man. Have a good
one. All right.
What was your first car, John?
What was my first car? 58 Cadillac Ambulance. With a big honking engine and the brakes never worked. I was like Fred Flintstone in that damn thing. There's a few stop signs I blew through, and thank God nothing was in the way. We'll be back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Steve, oh, let me take this call first. John in Austin. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, John.
Yes.
And Steve, how are you?
You're Steve? How did I get John in Austin?
It is John in Austin. Scottish John.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said you were Steve. Oh, no, you were talking to Steve.
I said, how are you and Steve?
Okay.
You're gonna give us a royal update there, John?
Yesterday was the first anniversary of their wedding, since you asked, Steve.
we both don't like the royal family there, John. We just
what the monarchy over there?
Yeah, we're sick of it. We're sick of it.
Well, you know, I mean, does anybody really care? I don't.
Steve, I really don't. Well, yes, John.
I was such a fan of the royal family that I wrote a song years ago called "The Skitter's Hum." Now, the skitters is a word that's used in Scotland to describe diarrhea. I don't mean to be rude or messy, but that's just a fact, okay? So something inspired me to write this song, and I dedicated a verse to Her Majesty the Queen. Would you like to hear it?
Sure.
Sure.
Now, over in Merry England, in a place called London Town, there's a bird on the scene, the call of the Queen, you can't miss it, she wears a crown. Now the royals don't get skitters, for that would be unfair, so when Queenie lets one go, they call it London Derriere.
If we ever have an entertainment hour, you're going to be it.
Hey, John, I think that's a hit song. We just got to pitch that to Elton John.
Well, it's interesting to hear a Scot talk about the British crown.
Yeah. Now, Steve, was that a little pun there about the Queen's derriere and Elton John?
No, it's just...
Hey, let's be respectful now. It's Sir Elton, okay? Come on.
Yeah, well, John and I were talking about the gay agenda here, and I've got a list of stuff that's going on right now, and then turn on the TV yesterday and see that there's a new movie. And it's about Elton John called Rocket Man.
Oh, gosh.
And they're going to definitely go after that. So this whole gay agenda is getting really big.
Do you know, Steve and John, I still have this photograph burned into my head of Elton John when he come out and let the world know that he was gay. Mm-hmm. He had a photographer snap a picture of him. He had his drawers down. He had underwear on, thank God, but he was bent over and he was giving people the middle finger between his knees. That photo is forever burned in my head. You know, and for a good entertainer as this guy has been, for me, this always taints it because Sir Elton is a flaming queer. I mean, I'm sorry.
I feel the same way. I got to a point with, I don't really care what somebody's sexuality is, but when they exploit it and they kept pushing it on you,
I don't care.
Finally just took all my Elton John CDs that I ever had, and I gave them away. I sent them away. I don't have any Elton John in my house. And it's just because he just keeps pushing the agenda. Just shut the hell up and play some music, and I don't care who you're sleeping with. Forget the agenda. Just play music. That's what I liked, music, and he didn't do that anymore, so I said, that's it. And I got rid of all my CDs.
Wow.
There you go.
All right.
Done.
Okay, John. Appreciate
you. Yeah.
Appreciate
you. Well, I'm not done yet.
Oh, okay. Well, let me not interrupt you.
I sang at Princess Diana's funeral about 10 hours before Elton John did, and I was filmed live by ABC television. It was about 3:30 a.m. in the morning over there, and apparently it was going out live over here. So I never got to see it, of course. But anyway, John, the reason I called in was that thing you mentioned right at the start there before Steve got on. That place you met, was it Bethlehem Steelworks or something you were talking about?
Bethlehem Steel. And it was it was an article that was done by the press in Allentown. And it was the 47-year-old building that was Bethlehem Steel that they just demolished yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I stumbled upon a book years ago. It was in the library at the University of Texas. And it was a book by a reporter from, it might have been the LA Times. It was a newspaper in Los Angeles. And his editor wanted this guy to go on a trip across the country to report on the decline of industry in the U.S. Now, after a few days, he went back and he said to his boss, look, I need you to send a photographer with me because this needs to be photographed as well. And they published this book, and I, as I say, I got it out of UT Library, and I remember that part in the book about that Bethlehem Steel, John. That production line was a mile long, and I thought that was just amazing.
Yeah.
And in fact, that book became part of the inspiration for Bruce Springsteen recording an album called The Ghost of Tom Joad. Mm-hmm. Tom Joad was a character played by Henry Fonda in The Grapes of Wrath. And it was one of my favorite albums until I fell out with Springsteen when he was such a big tout for Obama.
Yeah.
I fell out with him, and I've never played his music since.
See, there should be a rule. If you're going to get into the entertainment business, whether you're going to be an actor, stage actress, Hollywood films, music, your recording artist, here's the new rule. You can't let us know about your politics, period.
Mm.
Because there's a lot of people that I won't listen to anymore, wouldn't even think about buying their music. don't care anymore. They can take their political visions and they can go to grass and eat hay. Thanks for your call, John.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We're back. Tony in Massachusetts. Hello, Tony.
How you doing?
Hi.
Earlier you were talking about fuel mileage.
Yes.
I was wondering if you ever heard of Paul Pantone and his Geek technology.
Yep, years and years and years and years ago, yeah.
Wow. All right. Basically, that's all I had. And there's another law. There's a website called fuelefficientvehicles.org.
Mm-hmm.
And they show you how to make a setup on how to vaporize the gasoline. And supposedly you can go anywhere from between 100 to 400 miles on a gallon.
And what's the website again?
Fuelefficientvehicles.org.
All right. People will take a look at that, I'm sure. All right, Tony. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Okay. How to get... I'd settle for... I don't know. Give me the gas for a buck and a half or you know, give me a car that gets 50 miles to a gallon. You know, I've got one, you know, you and I, Steve, you and I drive the same kind of car.
Yeah.
I got a little bit bigger engine in mine than yours does. But I still managed to get, what the heck is it, 30 plus miles on the highway doing 80? You know, give me a car. Give me a car that gives me 50, 60 miles to a gallon. And, you know, I'm not going to mind paying $3 for a gallon of gas. Kind of.
You know, if it was safer, I'd ride a motorcycle. I really would. I would.
Well, I'll tell you what. If I wouldn't have sold mine when I did, I'd probably be dead by now, because we got so many foreigners now that come into this country and figure that they can drive in this country like they did in their respective countries. And I mean, I had an Indian woman one day pull out of a side street looking at me the whole time I'm on a motorcycle, and she's looking at me and she's pulling out in front of me. And I've got the wheels locked up, and I just barely dented her left front fender. And I sat there, and I looked at this woman, and she rolled down her window, and she didn't say anything. And I looked at her, and I said, "You were looking at me. I know it's daylight. I had my headlight on, brights. You're looking directly at me, and you're pulling out in front of me." She just sat there and looked at me. Oh, yeah, it's dangerous as hell. But here in Central Texas, it's saving grace for about 3 or 4 months out of the year. People in Central Texas are reminded that there are people out there on two wheels. And it's the Republic of Texas rally. Tens of thousands of bikes descend in June on Central Texas here. And it's a reminder for a couple of months that's when I felt the safest, after these guys left town. Everybody was aware of the motorcycles, and then somehow they would just forget and then run you over. Robert in California. Hello, Robert.
Hey, how are you doing?
What's on your mind?
Well, there's a lot on my mind. First and foremost, a couple of your audio hosts, they discussed something related to the homelessness problem in Marin County with some anchor outs living on boats.
Yep.
Yeah, I happen to be one of those guys living on a boat in Sausalito. And, dude, he was way off the mark. Him and Tucker Carlson both, they were way off the mark. I happen to work a job out here. I happen to live a life out here. I happen to not be addicted to drugs out here. And I happen to, like, really appreciate my lifestyle. And, dude, what kind of coverage we just suffered under sucks.
Yeah, I've got to ask you something. You seem a little lower key right now than you were when you first called into Michael Rivero. You seem really now relaxed and able to talk about this. What happened in the last 2 hours?
Well, I had a chance to calm down. I don't know. I mean, I just kind of suddenly received the news, and, dude, this sucks.
How do you feel?
I'm sorry. I'm the show host of this two-hour block, and I've got no clue what the hell you two are talking about.
Let me ask you a question real quick. You said you lost business because of Mike Rivero on a fiberglass job. Explain that. How'd that happen? Just talking about boats and people living on boats. How'd that make you lose a job?
Well, actually, it was two jobs, two separate job opportunities that I had. And both of them happened to have heard this audio broadcast on Tucker Carlson, and they decided that maybe I wasn't worth their time because I might be a drug addict or a thief or a homeless person.
Robert, let me get my mind wrapped around this little mini drama going on.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Okay, so Tucker Carlson does a podcast, and somehow that cost you a couple of jobs. How does that relate specifically to you, Robert?
Well, they were hearing the podcasts, and they decided that since I was one of the anchor outs that they were listening about, that they were not going to hire me for a job.
Well, that's
so. Your beef is against Tucker Carlson, not Michael Rivero.
No, no, my beef is against the idea of the Sausalito anchorites being discussed as drug addicts or...
he never said that. I listened to that broadcast. He never said that.
Hold on, guys.
Yeah,
really do have something important to say here. Now, the point is that... Okay, let me try to wrap my head around this. Now, the folks who have been listening to your broadcast that live in Sausalito, a lot of us who have lived out here on the Anchorage have lived out here since the early 1970s, and we have nothing to do with the most recent homeless problem that's encountered our America, and we don't want to be grouped in with that.
Okay.
Do we have an understanding there?
Well, I think we're making a mountain out of a damn molehill, because that's just because you're. Well, let's just rename you. You're an anchor baby. Okay.
Is that how you feel,
Robert? Please, come on, man.
Dude, I work a job. I am not an anchor baby.
Okay, Robert. Calm down, okay? What I was going to say is, for as many years as I've been alive, there are people that prefer living on a boat rather than being anchored or moored on shore with a basement and all of that other stuff. I I've never said anything negative about people that live on boats, and I think this is just a story that you're getting a little bit too tender over it. You think it's directed towards you, and I don't know what Tucker Carlson said about, you know, whatever. And how many people listen to that where you live? I don't know about any of that stuff. Let me
refresh the memory here, because I listened to that broadcast today when Michael was talking about many people cannot afford to live in your area. They can't afford your high cost of living there. Your apartments, your homes are out of range. So to live on a boat is much cheaper, and that's what Michael Rivera was talking about. He wasn't talking about a bunch of homeless people building little rafts and out there in the bay and living on a raft. He was talking about people who have taken a different route because they can't afford to live in San Francisco or out in the outer bounds of it, so they live on boats. They get good deals on boats, and they live on the water.
And they're buying little tiny houses in California now because they can't really afford the big thing. Robert, I don't know what the big deal here is about it. I don't think Michael Rivera was running you down.
I really appreciate what you both are talking about, and I really do appreciate both of you guys' perspective. But you really need to just take a look into what Michael Rivera was talking about.
Half of this crew today heard the show. I did not hear it. I'm at a disadvantage, but I trust Steve Elkins and wading through the stuff to pick out the good points, and I'm going to defer to his judgment on this one, okay?
The topic was economics. Really, people can't afford to live there, Robert. That's what the topic was about, economics hardship, and that's why people have taken to living on boats if they can, not to be paying those high mortgages, those high rents. They live on the water. That was an economic story. That's all it was.
And, Robert, to my knowledge, we don't have Tucker Carlson on this network, so, you know.
Guys, can I have one last word here?
Yeah, make it quick. Okay? Make it quick.
Yeah, no, it's no problem. Look. The reason I live on a boat isn't because of rental cost. It's because of a lifestyle choice.
Okay.
And the fact that I'm able to save a lot of money doing this doesn't really reflect upon the current nature of our society. What really does reflect here is the fact that I've had some really bad press presented upon the existence of our anchor out society.
But not
here.
Coming from and this I, network, Robert.
No, it didn't come from your network.
Great.
Let's make that clear.
Okay, well then you
okay,
should be
I'm
okay.
good on that.
Okay,
I'm good on
all right.
That, but
then
can
you
I
should
finish
be
my point.
God bless America. Go ahead.
Okay. The point is that my Anchorage has suddenly hit national news, and so I'm trying to bring it to your awareness that maybe something might be a little bit different than what they're describing.
That's all.
Okay. But that's again, all. It's what does that have to do with this network? Because we're not generating anything about the Anchorage people out there where you're at.
Well, okay, you're right, you're right.
Okay.
The biggest thing that it has to do with this network is the fact that there are a few patriots out here that might be willing to listen to the truth. And I want the truth to be told about where I live.
Okay, but you're okay,
me
but Robert, right, cut him down. Damn it. Robert, go complain to Tucker Carlson, not to this network, because we've had nothing to do with it. Okay, you've made your point several times about how you live. It's preferred lifestyle. It's a lot cheaper. We get all of that. Okay, Robert, complain to Tucker Carlson. Shoot him an email. He's got a hashtag, and I'm sure he's on Twitter. Drop him a message. Go track this back and see if you can't get some fair play out of Tucker Carlson. Maybe you can go on his show and talk about it. But this problem didn't emanate, and you I don't know if you intentionally tried to do this, but you tried to paint Rivero in on this picture, and Steve Elkins had actually heard the broadcast. I did not. And I said I defer to the man's judgment because there's not a whole lot he misses. So, end of story. Thank you for your call.
It was an economic story. That's all it was. He took it personal. I don't know how it cost him a job. But
well,
it was an economic story.
Two jobs.
And it was an economic story. Yeah.
Well, and there are people, he's got a few patriots out there in Boatland, and that's great. But I don't see what that has to do with us.
I don't either.
Well, it doesn't. Here's the point. He just wanted to vent about Tucker Carlson, and he tried to somehow attach it in a very weak way to this network. Sorry, not biting.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, you weren't here for this one. Did you read the story about Comey and Brennan both voting for communists while the Cold War was raging back in the 70s?
You and I talked about it, yeah.
Oh, okay, we did?
Yeah, you called me, or I called you and you talked
about it. Okay, it wasn't on air.
No.
Okay.
It wasn't on air.
Okay. People are not privy to our private conversations.
Thank God.
Oh, Lord. I thought Monday was going to be much better.
Hey, it's good. We got another an hour and 15 minutes. We're doing fine. This is fun.
Tim in Michigan. Hello, Tim.
Hello, John.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I want to take it back to cars real quick. I've often had the, you know, it'll never happen, which I, for sure, because to make an electric car, you know, appealing, it has to be sustainable.
Right.
Or self-sustainable.
Right.
Which means an onboard generator feeding a battery feeding the electric motor. Right. No plug-in, no hybrid, gas, electric, standalone car.
Tim, thank you for bringing that up. Thank you. It's what I've wondered.
I was actually waiting for somebody else to do it, but...
Well, do you remember
I was just waiting for Tim to call on that one.
Do you remember when you were a kid? Do you remember that you got the little generator that would clamp onto your front wheel of your bicycle to power the headlight?
I remember that, yeah.
Remember
Absolutely,
that?
I remember those.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing. Why do you not have a way to recapture energy without too much resistance, slowing the thing down? I'm sure that they could do it, gear it up properly, that you get on electric charge and you've got onboard generators that regenerate the electricity. I've often wondered that myself, Tim. I don't know why it's not engineering feasible, because if it was, don't you think they'd be doing it with the cars that they're making right now?
You would think, because all it would just be an extra pulley and a belt off the drive motor to a generator. And you have one for your house, you know, thank you. And why not have that electric motor that feeds electricity to your house feed a battery in your electric car off a pulley on the drive axle that powers the wheel off the electric motor?
It'll all be done.
So yep. The electric motor turns the generator restore the power.
Tim, I just have this funny feeling that they're going to round up all the internal combustion people, and they're just going to shove them right off a cliff. And if you survive the fall, fine. If you don't, well, that's fine too, because you're not going to like what you hit when you get down there. They're just they're.
Well, I'm a petrol head. If I survive the fall, I'm going back to my petrol motor.
And put the cards in your spokes, Mike.
There you go.
Remember the cards in your spokes there? That little noise you made when you went around the corner?
That's right. And my little Mattel 45 caliber army machine gun that went pop 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 pop. Yeah, you people could hear me coming. It wasn't the cards and the spokes. It was my Mattel shoot 'em up bang bang gun. All right, got a break here. Tim, thanks for your call. You know, he brought up something I thought about several times, but I never did bring it up. They're pushing this technology on us, and we're not ready for it, folks. You're going to end up in the short end of the stick. Now, who do you think that's going to be? That's going to be you and I. How are you going to peg the dollar to a bolt of electricity? That's what I want to know. We'll be back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter.
Alrighty, we're back. Let's go to Murr in Wisconsin. Hello, Murr.
Hi, John and Steve.
Hi.
I think it was about 3 weeks ago when you had the articles up there about the IRS and you know how they Wilbur Ross wanted to put on the census about federal citizenship, national citizenship, which I remember Ralph had covered, right? And sure enough, I found where when he was sitting in for you, he had covered it. So I told Mark Anderson about it because he was down there at the border and talking about it. And then I called into Ralph's, and we were discussing it, and he was going over it. And then later, I'm pretty sure it was Robert that called because we were talking about domicile and resident and the difference, residents, you know, how you can have more than one, but one domicile. And Robert called in to argue about domicile, and I guess it was his Anchorage again. So I just wanted to say it's a mixture of bragging and complaining he's doing there. And I wanted to remind him that alcohol is a drug, and his shit probably needs a cat.
Okay, that's a coded message for Richard. Okay.
Or Robert.
Robert, whatever.
Yeah. Robert. Okay. He might be Richard sometimes, I don't know.
Okay.
But he needs a cat, I think, and lay off the booze.
Now, you're going to start a war here, Murr. You know that, right?
Well, yeah. I'm just being helpful.
Yeah.
I figure he's still listening.
Yeah.
I figure he's still listening.
So you called him an alcoholic and he needs a cat.
No, I didn't call him an alcoholic.
Okay.
I'm just saying alcohol is a drug. And to say you don't do drugs and you drink, and he's clearly drinking, I'm sorry.
He did calm down quite a bit from Rivero's show, and that was the first thing I was thinking the same. I wasn't going to say it. I didn't want to offend him. I just wanted to hear what he had to say and make his argument.
You weren't, so. And you really couldn't, so I wanted to. Because it's not, you know, it's just own up to it. If you're going to brag and complain,
that's why I lean towards, why are you so calm now? I saw his speech was kind of slurred. I think he was under something.
Well, thank God I just missed that whole mini drama. Boy, I'm over it. I'm over it, ain't you, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay.
He had no argument. His argument is with Tucker Carlson, not us.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm sitting here and I'm trying to discern if the guy's got a legitimate complaint. He drug in Rivera on this thing, and thankfully you've heard the show, so he 86'd that part of it. And then the issue is about Tucker Carlson and what he said about the anchor babies. I don't even know what the hell Tucker Carlson said, and you know what? I don't even care.
See, it's the same thing back there with Ralph. He just called in to complain and brag about not having a domicile, but he really does if he's anchored in California.
All right, Murr, let's try not to make enemies out of callers, because now I'm going to hear about this on tomorrow's program. You know that, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying,
I know what
we
you're
can
saying.
Help each other out,
I'm envious
of this guy. He gets to live on a boat. What an awesome deal.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
did you actually help him? Is that what your intent was?
Well, I said, he's bragging and complaining, so enjoy the bragging. We get that. But if he's lonely, get a cat, you know?
There you go.
I don't know if he's lonely or not. I don't know that much about his personal life, and quite frankly, I don't care about his personal life. I am over this mini-drama. We're moving on.
To call in and complain.
Okay.
Someone has nothing to do with it.
Okay, that was four times that you made that statement. Okay, Murr. At the risk of not repeating ourselves over again, we need to take top of the hour break and get on with the second hour. I thank you for your call. All right. Where's Tucker Carlson when you need him?
I don't know what he said.
I don't know what he said either. You know what, Steve? I don't care what he said. Oh, boy. It's too bad you didn't get to listen to Thursday's show. I was a little hard on Steven and his father. I wonder if he talked to his dad. Steven, was he from Georgia or Tennessee? Do we remember?
Which Steven are we talking about here?
Talking about the show I told you to listen to and you said you couldn't.
20 minutes of it. That's all I got.
20 minutes. So it's the 20 minutes that you don't know about and it's too much time to explain. All right then, second hour coming up with less confusion, guaranteed.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy.
If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.